Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, October the 17th, 2017. I have 7 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's pledge will be led by Councilmember Bailey, the invocation by Councilmember Pollard.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful to meet here today tonight with the council members. We're grateful that so many members of our city have come here today to discuss issues that are important. We're grateful for the freedoms that we have in this country, for the safety that we have in our city. We're grateful for those who help to protect the citizens. We ask that those who are less fortunate for us, especially those where we go in other countries that are devastated by hurricanes and other disasters. Please bless us tonight that we'll be able to make decisions that are pleasing to you and pleasing to our residents. This is to understand our concerns and be able to live here for you. We ask this blessing in the last session.
Thank you very much. Daniel, I'm getting you for tonight's agenda, but I'm grabbing that sign-in sheet that are over there for you. All right. I do want to mention one thing regarding our agenda tonight. I know some of you probably have come to discuss and hear about item number 9, which is a rezoning of certain areas on Oak Road, surrounding area. This afternoon, we were notified by the attorney of Mr. Parsons that they needed more time. So the city will not be taking action tonight. That extension was granted. However, when you notice a public hearing, then that is going to take place. So the public hearing will take place tonight, which will give all of you an opportunity to speak on this particular issue, just that the council will not be acting on that issue. So I need to have a council member make a motion to table that part of the agenda, but I'll take a motion on the entire agenda if you want to take that into consideration.
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve the meeting's agenda with tabling item number 9 to be brought back in May 8.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Now we're going to move on to public comments. All right. Okay, so we need this one organized. Now that I've got two sheets for each one. Mr. Freak, are you here? Mr. Freak, are you here to speak on a specific item or just in public comments?
Public comments.
Public comments, okay. And I also have Barbara Ramos. Is Barbara here? Barbara?
Oh, yeah, hi.
And are you here for public comments or a specific issue? Okay. So, Mr. Free and Mr. Ramos, I'm going to have you guys come up during public comments. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Free, I'll have Barbara come up. And if you wouldn't mind giving us your name, your address, and then you have 3 minutes to say whatever you like.
Okay.
Right now?
Right now. Specific item. Huh? You said specific item, right?
No, she wanted,
that's not on the agenda.
I think she said she wanted public comments.
No, specific item.
Oh,
yeah, I said
okay. Just one second. Which item did you want to speak on?
So I wanted just to talk about home business.
Okay.
Public comment.
So she's public comment.
Yeah, and when I meant a specific item, that's not on our agenda tonight.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that is a public comment.
Oh,
item.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have you come up right now. Ma'am, did you want to speak?
I didn't sign the paper.
That's okay. I'll still take it. Are you wanting to speak on a specific item on the agenda or public comment?
It's on the
zone. Okay. For Oak Road. Okay, do you want to speak during public comments time or do you want to come back when the agenda item is up?
Public
comments. And tell me your name.
Kathy Dink.
H-A-N-K-S.
Last name again?
Hanks, H-A-N-K-S.
Okay, all right, Barbara, we're going to start with you. If you would give us your name, your address, and then you will have 3 minutes.
Perfect, so my name is Barbara Ramos, address is 9449 North Canyon Road, right here in Cedar Hills. So one of the issues that I want to talk about was at-home business. I do have a folder here for each of you to review after this. But basically, the home business that we just wanted to bring a subject to it is we're looking at doing a bicycle shop out of our property. We have about 3/4 of an acre, and we have a building that we would like to use for a bicycle shop. We are aware of a couple of other neighbors who are using some accessory buildings for that purpose. I know that we have been talking with Mr. Goodwin, and he's been great to work with. But we have been talking with him about you know, that possibility. That possibility was denied, but we don't see, I mean, he has, you know, explained to us, but we don't feel like it's a fair option since we do have neighbors that are using that as a possibility, and it has been approved by the City of Cedar Hills. So we don't understand why we're not able to do that. So like I said, I do have all that information here for you guys. And then the other issue that we wanted to talk about was about a fence issue. This is just kind of a request that we would like the city to consider. We live on Canyon Road. The county has already mentioned they're pretty much doing nothing where we live. You know, I did email all of you a speed test showing how fast and how dangerous that road is. So we asked the council to consider allowing residents that live on that road to build a taller fence along that road in the front of our house. And we're willing to come, you know, 8 feet inside of our property to allow, you know, for the visibility of cars to come to us. So again, I have all, you know, I have pictures and as well as footprint of our house as well.
Great. So Barbara, I did get your email this morning. I think the entire council did. And spoke with Chandler about that this afternoon. I know he's looking for solutions to you, but staff's not ready to come to council with the recommendation yet. So if you can continue to work with staff on this issue, and then as soon as they feel like they have some language or a recommendation that's ready to come to the council, then it will be brought back again.
Okay.
And we'll invite you back at that point.
Okay. Would at that time you guys be able to explain what was the difference between those buildings that have already been approved and us?
Yeah, that's probably going to take place while you're working with staff. Is if you want feedback in terms of specific homes on Canyon Road and why they have a certain type of home business and they're saying that you may not be able, that's going to be resolved between you and staff. And then if there's still some questions that need to come to the council in terms of an action item to perhaps change something, that's when we can call back from that time and really discuss that.
Okay. Yes, and exactly. Just to be aware, we have been working since the beginning of the year, so it has taken quite a while. So I really hope that things can kind of get moving along.
I understand. It just came to my desk, to my attention
today.
Yeah,
just today. Yeah, I've been working with some
people. Very good. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Kathy, I think you are next. So if you would give us your full name and your address, and you'll have 3 minutes.
You want to go get her folders from her?
Oh, I'm not sure. Okay. Kathy Hanks, H-A-N-K-S, 101-1018 by Oak Court, or in that little cul-de-sac, and I realize you tabled it, but it seems to me, and I think it talked to most of us on that area, we don't mind having like one end, one part on Oak Road having houses. We don't mind down there having houses, but to make the whole area a subdivision seems to me not wise at all. If you live right there, would you love someone having a house right there behind you, like this, looking your back windows type of thing? And as we've gone through this before, it seems to me they can, instead of making the whole green area subdivision or whatever, multi-use residential, you could do the ends when people would move out. I think that's why it keeps getting because everybody comes and goes, no. And I think I speak for most everybody, they don't mind having certain areas maybe, but that is a hillside that's not in any way, you know, stable to build homes on there. You know, live. So I don't think, I think the majority really does not want it. So I just wanted to voice my opinion, and I, in a way, now I'm back again, and I thought this was already killed once. Here we table again, but just so I think a lot of people feel that that's not appropriate. Maybe we should do a neighborhood, whatever they call that, a survey of all the people that are impacted. And maybe that would be a good way to solve it.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
So I know some people showed up a little bit late, and so I will just say the reason it was tabled is the attorney representing Mr. Parsons said that no one could be here representing them and asked for an extension, and I granted that. And I would do the same thing for any of you as well. And so that's why it was tabled tonight. But the point should be we're trying to get this done right. I don't think that we're trying to delay anything. So, all right. No, it's not the attorney. You're not representing the Parsons, right?
I'm just an investigator for the office. I'm here just to observe.
Okay. All right. Mr. Green, I believe you are next.
You must be attorney last time.
It was a separate attorney. It was not Mr. Brantley. It was a separate attorney that was supposed to come tonight that was not able to. So that's why they requested to have it tabled.
So my name is Dave Free. I live at 4309 West Oak Road. A few months ago, I came here and talked about having a sidewalk between my house and the Brantley's house on Oak Road, where kids cross the street there, or a speed bump or something. I kind of wanted to see if there was any motion, any traction at all on that in that regard. Has there been anything talked about since then? I haven't received anything by email, but I've got the kids that cross the street twice to stay on sidewalks on the way to school. And coming around that corner, there's been kids come around that corner for many, many years in excess of the speed limit. So there has to be something done, and I see nothing being done as of yet. I haven't heard anything. So is there anything being done on Oak Road? Speed bumps, sidewalks, either of those?
We're probably not going to have a discussion on this. The council hasn't discussed that item that you're talking about, but I'll tell you, I'll bring it up with staff and find out, and then I'll have them get back to you. Because I do see your address, your email address here, so I'll make sure that
okay.
They follow up with you.
I brought it up a few months ago and never heard anything back, so I just wanted to see if there's anything going on, because it needs to happen for some of these.
Thank you. Okay, now, is there anyone that came in late that didn't sign up, that wanted to sign up and speak during public comments? I know there was. Did you want to speak on a specific issue, or did you want to speak right now?
Well, I'd like to speak about the results.
Oak Road, right?
Yes.
Yes. And so do you want to wait until that item comes up on the agenda, or do you want to speak right now? Either way is fine. You wait. Okay. All right. And so, Mr. Richardson, are you wanting to speak now or wait for the agenda item?
I can wait.
You can wait.
Thank you.
Don and Brad, is it Catamol?
Oh,
are you here?
I didn't know I was signing something this time. Sorry.
I'm afraid, Don, I'm going to force you to come up.
Sorry.
Teacher of lessons. Breathe before you sign.
So,
sorry about that.
Brad, are you wanting to?
No.
Okay, then I will remove that.
Can we just clarify with everyone that there is still a public hearing?
I'm going to remind him about item number 4 in just a second.
Even though the council is not taking action on the item that most of you are here to talk about, which is the rezoning of some property on Oak Road, there's still a public hearing which is going to allow you to be able to speak. And so, Mrs. Condi?
Mayor,
are you,
can I interrupt you for just 1 second? We need to address item number four, the Youth City Council. They are not coming tonight. We need to move that to the November 21st meeting.
I'm not quite done with public comments. I was going to get to that in a minute. Thank you. So, Ms. Condi, are you wanting to speak during public comments or wait for the item to come up on the agenda?
I'll wait for the item.
Mr. Flickinger?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to wait or speak during public comments?
I can wait. It's okay. Thank you.
Mr. Richardson, you also want to speak on the park tax as well?
Yes, please.
And do you want to wait or talk now?
I'd be happy to wait.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kelly Smith?
Yes.
Are you wanting to speak? Where are you? There you are. Thank you. You want to speak now or you want to wait for the item to come up on the agenda? Okay. Brian Miller?
He just left to get something, but he wants to speak.
He wants to wait as well. So everyone is waiting. Excellent. Okay. All right. So I am moving on then. Now that we've handled public comments and closing public comments, I will come back to a public hearing where you will have an opportunity to speak. Item number four, which is the reports, presentations, and recognitions. We have scheduled for the Youth City Council to be introduced and administered the oath of office. They are not able to make it tonight, so we are not going to conduct that tonight, but we will move on now to public hearings. The first public hearing, which is item number five on the agenda, and I'll read it for you. Amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 3, regarding the rezoning of certain portions of area currently in the public facilities zone to R1, 11,000 residential zone, and to amend the official zone map to reflect these zone changes. So this is how this is going to work. So I know some of you have signed up to talk during item on the agenda. That doesn't say that you can't come up during the public hearing. So anybody that wants to come up and speak during the public hearing, I will let you do so. And that doesn't prohibit you from speaking on the agenda. So now, the public hearing is open for item number five, which is on that area. Is there anyone from the public that wants to come and speak during the public hearing part?
Don't they?
No? Mrs. Conner, are you wanting to come and speak?
This is item number five?
Yes, this is public hearing. The item that you're wanting to talk about still comes up in item number, not as an action item, but yes. Why don't we handle all of the people who wanted to speak on Oak Road right now during the public hearing. So, Mrs. Connie, why don't you come up, and then I'll bring the rest of you up one at a time, and as much as the council won't be voting on item number nine. Go ahead. And you've got 3 minutes.
My name is Sherry Condi. I live at 4221 West Oak Road North. Thank you for this opportunity to address you about rezoning property out of public facility open space. This issue is very important to me, and I hope you've all read or listened to the input that your constituents have already expressed to the Planning Commission. I'm here to ask you to deny the petitioner's request. Deny the request for any and all residential use, period. The city has let everyone know that this property has been planned for open space. It's specifically written up in the general plan. So public facility zoning of this property is neither arbitrary nor unreasonable. It should remain PF because I've always believed that a city council is called on to enact regulations that are in accordance with the comprehensive plan, a plan intended to avoid arbitrary governmental choices. It is in your power and it is your responsibility to control population density and create the residential areas that the community has come to expect. City Code Title 10, Chapter 1, Paragraph 2C states that our city council is to promote the general welfare of the city inhabitants by lessening congestion in the streets, preventing the overcrowding of land, and providing adequate light and air. The ordinances under your control should represent our community's spiritual values as well as the physical ones, and our values for open space and aesthetics as well as the monetary ones. Speaking of monetary value, consider the future of this property as an investment in dollars and cents that pay off in the benefits of neighborhood recreation, community character, and connection to nature. As a side note, as much as I like Mr. Goodwin and his service to our city, I believe that we need a professional city planner to guide us in the growth and changes that are happening here in Cedar Hills. Let Mr. Goodwin handle his responsibilities as a good city manager and get him some help to deal with planning issues that are sure to come up in the future. It would no doubt help to prevent such things as the blunders from past years, the fallout they caused, and the situation we're experiencing with the Hillside parcel right now. Back to the decision at hand, please do not change the public facility zoning and put it further into the reach of residential development. Thank you.
Thank you. Almost perfectly three minutes. Thank you very much. Mr. Clickinger. You can give us your name, your address, please.
Ms. Troy Clickinger, my address is 10130 North Meaton Court. Where this is being talked about for the rezoning is a little further up from where I am, but it still poses a lot of the same problems that I brought up the last time I spoke to you. I could go on specifics. I won't this time. I'm a student. It's midterms. But I will say that it really is a lot of the same issues. It's definitely a no on that. A lot of concerns for me when I moved in. I assumed it was not. I was told it was not going to be anything other than just what it is. So I really wanted to just simply stay that way and for no other reason, just so I don't feel like there's a violation going on when I go in my backyard. I don't want to see people seeing me and that has a potential even up where that is. It is what it is, and I think it's that way for a reason. It seems to me like it was zoned that way in the first place because it just didn't make sense to try to do homes. But I mirror what was already just said. I say ditto to that. Let's leave it alone. Thank you
very much. Mayor Richardson, would you mind coming forward?
Good evening. Eric Richardson, 4275 Santa Pleasant. Mayor, council, staff, thank you so much for being here. Also thank you to Ms. Franklin for coming to our practice yet again. So last night we had a great time at the city's 40th anniversary party. Great day, great displays there, and we got to see a lot of old friends. And I bring that up because when we think of like a baby being born, we always scrapbook their very first moments, their first mama or dada, their first walk, and we pay a lot of attention to those things. In our cities. One of our city's very first things was to take this property and to reserve it for open space. And we did that very early on because as a city we value open space. And it's been that way in the plans ever since day one, literally. And I think that's something that's very important for us here tonight. And so it's been great seeing some old friends and acquaintances here. And you see here in the audience we're a little bit lower in number tonight than we have been at some of the planning commission meetings. I'm sure we'll get everyone out for the next meeting. But I think one of the things that's very important is that you'll notice that no one's speaking in favor of this other than the property owner. People with vastly different political opinions and persuasions all agree on this one issue. It's not controversial, and it's something that I think every one of us would like to remain as the designated open space that it's always been. And so we hope that they'll do that. I do want to especially thank the council members and staff and especially Chandler, who's been so helpful and helped us get some information on this. And so I do appreciate that greatly. And that's something that I hope is recognized, is that our staff is very open towards. It's something that I feel like I can always come to the office and get my questions answered and approach the officials. So thank you. And we just ask that you support this remaining open space, and we'd also ask that maybe we continue the public hearing or have another wide open ability to express ourselves at the next meeting. A lot of people didn't come tonight knowing that it wasn't going to be any action, so a lot of people like to express themselves at that time. So, hey, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. That's my entire list of people that signed up to speak during the public hearing. But I know you're, no, come on over, just come on over. You don't even need to sign up. So I'm just going off of my list of people that have signed up. But now I'm going to take people that just want to come up and speak. And you each have 3 minutes. So give us your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Ken Hazelbaker, 10253 North Oak Road West. Reed Swenson home. Very happy to be there. When we bought that home, we were assured that it's been that way for 40 years, a vacant lot. That was significant to us when we moved in there and made that decision 3.5 years ago. Very important to us. The other thing I'd just like to appeal to the council, first of all, to say thank you for all the service that you give to our community. I enjoyed last night. The former Mayor Richardson, that was very nice to be able to see that for us to learn. And to see how the city has grown. I'd just like to appeal to the council that you go back and think about integrity, because we look to you as our governing body to do what you say you will do and what your predecessors have said that they will do. And from what I understand, from day one, that has always been designated as open space. And I would appeal to you to consider that, that we don't keep kicking the can down the road, that we don't play no things the zoning commission last month, that we'll just change it back to this. But you still got the option when it comes up for building permit, you can still come again. You don't need to keep doing that. It's a churn for everybody. Just want to try to, let's deal with it. I agree, give the owner some money that he spent on, I don't know what that is, $4,000 or $5,000. Certainly not the property value it is today. It's meant to be open space. It should be kept that way. Please appreciate integrity.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would care to come up and speak during the public hearing? Come on up and give us your name, your address, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Holly Grinkle, and my address is 4012 Oak Road. Just moved here from Washington, the state of Washington. And we shopped around a very long time between our home and we love Cedar Hills. And we were really excited to be here. I just want to say that when we looked at purchasing that home, we considered that open space up there. Our home is just above the church. So we get all the traffic coming down the hill. Anyway, and we have 4 small children, 4 little girls, and I do have a lot of concerns with what's going on there. Kids play in that area. I know I shouldn't have said that, I don't know. But no, I think it's really important, and we bought the home when we did our neighborhood review with the understanding that that was supposed to make open space. And
we're pretty disappointed at the prospect of that changing moving in here 6 weeks and already a neighborhood turned up down. So just asking you to consider that. There will be young families affected by that change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would care to speak during the public hearing on the property around Hope Road? Come on up, David. Our Planning Commission Chair, David Reeves.
Hello, David Reeves, 9465 North, 394 West, Cedar Hills. Mm-hmm. We goes across the fence, so I'm down on the south side of Cedar Hills. I thought I'd just try to correct some confusion that the public seems to have in regards to the action that the Planning Commission took last month. The Planning Commission made a recommendation that the parcel in question be moved back to the residential zone, not because the intent was to open the gates to building homes and such, but rather for 2 other reasons. One was the public facility zone is not subject to the nuisance ordinance currently. I know that you have, we may address that later in the agenda tonight, but at present there is no action that the city can take property owner in regards to the high weeds and fire danger that's there in the public facility zone. So it was a safety factor, if you will. And then the other aspect is the public facilities zone actually permits development, probably more so than it realizes. Current code permits cemeteries, electric substations, transmission lines, municipal buildings, parks, schools, and water reservoirs and storage tanks. So those are permitted uses currently where it's currently zoned. So the other premise was that we didn't want to see that type of development. With this parcel, so by moving back to the residential zone, those would not be permitted use. So I just wanted to bring that up and kind of educate a little bit about the head of the commission. I think the commission was unanimous, if I remember correctly, on that recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Drew.
Mayor, do you mind if I make a quick comment?
You want to correct something, or you want to speak as a resident? Is that what you want to do?
Yes.
Go ahead. You got 3 minutes.
So I really appreciate the passion that I've explained about the space and the time that I really share. I likewise really want to see what it means to commitment to open space that hold that commitment. That affects not just this property, but it also affects the state of this property that we've been talking about this evening. With regard to the planning commission, what I would hope the planning commission would do in the future is when we see a loophole in our ordinances, instead of playing around with the zoning, just make a recommendation for community members. And that's what I would have liked to see.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Public hearing. Going once.
I just had a clarification question real quick. I've had a couple of people ask me if we were going to do a public hearing next time too. And it's my understanding that we're not, but we're still allowed public comment. But we do it all over.
We always allow public comment. So even though the public hearing is tonight, which is required, I'm not going to stop you from talking again next time. So please come back. Anyone else wanting to speak during the public hearing? Mark, give us your name. Address? Yeah, 3 minutes.
My name is Howard Hanson. I'm about 19. And this is all being talked about as if it's the department. It never happened. All been done by the department. And we're still voting on that question.
Can you sit talking to the microphone?
Could you please talk into the mic? Thank you for the recording.
If we're to go with the original planning zone, a lot of people wouldn't be here because it was planned for an equestrian community originally. A lot of you didn't know that. But it was planned for an equestrian community, and a lot of you people here right now wouldn't like to have some horses in your backyard. There's a lot of things that have changed, and the argument for change doesn't change just because it doesn't fit my wants for your wants. What we really want is what's right and fair, and whatever it is you're going to do. I'm not Randy. I'm a big piece of property that we're really talking about. And my personal question, I'm very much the most that can be done for the most people for the right reason. So I have protected people on the water side of the property for 13 years in the city, destroying their homes and turning it into parking, which could happen, which is what happened in Warren. A whole subdivision is taken up and in that park that sits behind the city building. I've done that single-handed. I didn't know that all these years, but I found out early in the spring that I'm the better guy than I realized I was because I had helped you. I continue to want to do that. I want to help you. I've got some offers that I think probably are going to be hard to refuse because I do own that property, and the city can't give it to you. And your next door neighbor made me promise it will be real. Your property, saying you're using that it's not their property. If I were to invite people to your restroom, the public restroom, how would you do that? It's your property, you should be able to decide what you're going to do with your house. Block 19 is my property, and my feelings aren't any different than yours would be about your restroom. So let's protect each other. Let's help each other make a good, right decision that is good for all of you as far as day one is concerned. Day one. So, not something else. They want. May have been listening. open space, but the city council, I want to compliment the city council. I'm so impressed.
15 seconds.
Thank you. And how long you have run this meeting. I went to a meeting like this over 10 years ago, and you've got a wonderful mayor. You've got a wonderful city council who is so willing to accept everybody's funding. You brought it. You wasn't like that 10 years ago. This was all a good old new year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, I'm your neighbor. Can you hold your lawn for me? You can run by one and see me.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give people respect. All right. If there's no one else to talk about the public hearing item, I will close that right now and move on to our next public hearing, which is an amendment to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, Section 27, landscaping relating to artificial turf. Is there anyone here who has come to speak on the public hearing regarding the artificial turf? Nope. I will close that public hearing as well. Now we're moving back to city reports and business. And to start with my left, Mr. Goodman, if you wanted to start, we'll go down the row.
A couple of recreation notes. Our junior jazz registration is now open. We have girls and boys for grades 2 through 9, so we look for that. We have another fantastic year. We are consistently one of the top programs for small cities in the state. Flag football is wrapping up. We had 19 teams this year, which is an increase over some of the past years. And our golf crews are moving into their new building. If you ever want to go take a look at it, Mayor Council, I would recommend go schedule time with Wade and Greg. They'll give you the grand tour. A big thank you to everyone that attended the 40th anniversary party that we had last night. I feel like it was very well attended. And thank you to Denise Anderson, Jenny Reese, Nancy Kirkpatrick, Gretchen Gordon, Colleen Mulvey, and Mike Carson for being the ones that prepared that. It was a fantastic event, so thank you. And then finally, for those of you that were there last night, we showed some concept designs for the future Harvey Park, and we'd like to see some feedback from the community. There's the group that's helping us develop the concept design is Insight Design, and they've done a concept video that we'll be putting on our website that will allow people to kind of see, get an aerial view and almost a drive-through of what the park will be. It's a really cool video. I recommend people to go take a look at it. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mrs. Reese.
Just thought I'm working on State of the City, and I'll get it to you guys sometime. I'll complete it for you guys.
Mrs. Anderson. We are working on the hiring process for the new fire chief, multi-public safety, that has been delayed through the candidates involved to fight fires in California. So that's been delayed a little bit, and I'll be back to you guys when that is brought back to life. So, Mr. Jackson.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Mr. Paul,
nothing for me.
Thank you very much. Move on to our scheduled items. We're in item number 10, which is an action item on an ordinance amending Title 10, Section Chapter 5, Section 27, landscaping relating to artificial turf. Mr. Goodwin, go ahead.
This issue before the county commission last couple of months was brought to us by a resident. The planning commission did a great job of discussing the pros and cons there, and they were split. So what we did with the planning commission was we presented to them two codes. One of the codes would allow artificial turf, and the second one would prohibit as of except for landscaping. Currently, our landscaping code requires that everyone within a year of moving in to take them out into the home that they have. Rocks, grass, trees, shrubs, flowers, things of that nature. So with that being said, the Planning Commission actually recommended the code that prohibits the use of the partnership, except for landscaping. In your packet, I've included an ordinance that is prepared like we do all of our ordinances that prohibits the but I also included the language that was given to the Planning Commission that would allow it to be out in ordinance form. So if you were to pass the ordinance tonight, you would be effectively prohibiting artificial turf as a landscaping method. If you are not comfortable with that, I would advise you to direct the Planning Commission to
revisit the code that, that allows our commission to and to make any recommendation to the city council. But I feel like the pros and cons are fair. Other cities have allowed it. Ogden City is a lot where this code is based off of, and they have actually, theirs is a similar situation where their planning commission said we are not recommending this to the council. But they recommended the code allowing it, denied, saying you should deny it. So that's kind of where we are at this one. What kind of questions do you guys have on our initial turf that you can answer?
I have one question on the planning commission process.
Yeah.
So it's usually helpful for me instead of just hearing they recommend we don't have it. It's useful for me to understand why. Because my initial intent is a private property issue. I don't see that as you guys, my neighbors, and I sell it. It looks nice. So I'm curious as to why the planning commission wants.
Yeah. Are you asking that I bring up Mr. Gray? Are you still here? Dave?
Or Chandler?
I'll defer to the chair. Okay. Mr. Chair, do you want to come forward and just give us your thoughts on this item? It's been 4 weeks, you can 4 weeks ago. If memory serves, the commission members had different reasons for it. Some environmental reasons for it, you know, that it contained oil, that it reflects heat, there were safety concerns around summer days, barefoot kids or pets walking off, it's very hot. There were concerns around it may look great when it's first installed, but then over time it becomes sprayed or discolored. And how can you define the police, if you will, the quality of it, the appearance of it several years later. There was that aspect of it. I think there may have been an intrinsic thought around that virtually all of Cedar Hills is landscaped in a different manner, right? Naturally, if you will, if you want to call it that way. And that having pockets of artificial turf here and there combined with other, you know, homes across the street or next door that had, you know, rocks and grass and shrubbery and things of that nature. It may not look well together. And I believe the commission didn't have any issue with it being installed in the rear of the property. So those are all the conditions combined. Thank you. Mr. Spall, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Any other questions? For whatever it's worth, with all due respect to our colleagues on the Planning Commission, my recommendation would be to kick it back to the Planning Commission and ask them to create some language to approve it as opposed to prohibit it. Ask for sure. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Goodwin?
I tend to agree with that for a few reasons. There are a few homes in my neighborhood that have AstroTurf already, so I know some people have already installed it. And I know as a city, we are really trying to advocate for water conservation, and that is one of the ways that can occur, because obviously we built that type of electricity that doesn't require any water. I'm looking at, is this Ogden's policy that you gave us?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Ogden's policy, and I don't know if the Planning Commission had that or not.
I believe we sent it to them in the first meeting.
Okay, so it's got, they're very specific on how they police it. I mean, they talk about how tall it has to be, drainage features it has to have, and talk about when it needs to be replaced and how it has to be installed, and basically that it can't at some point look, it has to be regularly maintained in a neat manner, it can't be worn and even discolored or damaged. They've done a pretty good job of making sure that if it's allowed, it has to still continue to look nice. And so the biggest concern that I've heard is heat, that it does get very hot, but if it's on your personal property.
Well, one other thing to that point is that someone was saying that there's a difference between the artificial turf that's used in a football stadium versus
so it doesn't get hot?
It doesn't get as.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No. You know, my comment or my thought is to not approve this ordinance. I think that the man getting you full. The reason that I agree with it to water conservation. I have Eagle Mountain, if you drive out there, they have a patch out there. The city owns plus years, and it looks just as good today as it did when it was first put in 10, 12 years ago. So I think that Cedar Hill residents are very mindful of what their properties look like. It's not something to put in and go more markers like that. And if they do, who's to say that I'm going to do that with their bar as well? So I'm.
Mr. Bailey, would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, I would. Unless there's more discussion.
I just have one question. If let's say we do throw it back to the planning commission and come back with some sort of parameters or something to have our filter, how do you ensure that when this artificial turf gets to be cold, how do you make them request the artificial
turf? It just is one question. So as anybody that would, if you don't put in your lawn, we need to give notes, correct notes, and then letter, and give you a timeline.
And if they don't?
And if they don't, it is a problem.
Do you want to do anything like that for bonds? Just get more out and be a little.
We send them weave it. It doesn't happen too long.
I know we do have residents who are being fined to have it installed anyway.
Yes. Okay. So it'd be similar to that. And I just like to say, you know, I appreciate the point of question. First option. So I think they make good points. Just with David. And it's a little bit more of a private property issue. So I'm a little bit back to them.
Any other questions, comments? Mr. Bailey, you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I move that we keep it back to the planning commission for their regulations.
Do you want to read the second motion?
I'm sorry?
There's two motions.
I move that we deny the proposal where the planning commission review the issue of artificial turf as an allowed landscaping method and make future recommendations to the city council.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it. Mr. Cipolla.
Mr. Cipolla seconded it. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. Mr. Cipolla.
Aye.
Mr. Bailey. Aye. Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mrs. Anderson.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
The motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item number 11, which is the item regarding the park tax. I know some people have come to speak on that. Mayor Richardson, if you wouldn't mind coming back up and giving us your name address again, and I'll start with you, and now we're down the list.
There's a list. That's interesting. Okay. Eric Richardson, resided in St. Pleasant a half hour ago, 4275 tablet.
So, sure, thank you.
I hope. I haven't seen them run out for any fires or anything, so I'm hoping. So you know, there's a lot of people here, interestingly, but not a lot on tax, and I'm actually surprised that one more person signed up. These things actually don't draw very many people. The things that matter to us most are the things that are in our backyard. This frankly isn't that big of a deal to most of our residents. You know, as we talk about these types of issues in our city, we talk a lot about philosophy and what government should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And I think one thing that's very important is that all government bodies are not the same. What we want our federal government or much less our local government. I don't want my local government having armored tanks, but I do want my national government having that. I don't want my national government imposing rec programs, but I'd love for my city to do more of that. And that's really the neat thing about all this, is that cities are optional forms of government. You're not required to live in the city. You're not required to buy into that. And the park tax is an optional tax. It's also something that you're not required to shop or place and pay that tax. Just like with your residency in a city, you can transfer your membership with your feet, so can you do that where you shop. And as I think back to our city's history, you know, many were opposed to commercial development when it came in, but it was all based off of noise and lights and traffic, and even whether they were open on Sundays or whether they served alcohol, these were all things that were very important. But tax structure never came up in any of the hearings that we had over all those years on our commercial development. I doubt it ever will. And so this is really something that I think is in the favor of our city, and I would just say, you know, no one decides whether they buy milk based off of the tax that they pay on it, not this, at least not at this rate. It's inconsequential. I was looking at my Facebook feed the other day, and I saw a remembrance of something that kind of brings together, I think, though, where maybe there should be a little bit more commonality than I've heard. 2 years ago, right before spring break, my kids got passed off this flyer at the school, and a balloon to go with it. It was kind of nice. Kids for parks. And I think that was all about, you know, emphasizing that kids in our city do like parks. And this was put out by someone who generally disagreed with it. And I definitely disagree with handing this out to kids on school property, but regardless, they are in favor of parks for our kids, and they talk about soccer fields and picnic places and libraries and tennis courts. So we're all served well by the taxes and fees that we provide now for our roads, our sewer, our sidewalks, our fire, our EMT. And what we want more is things for our kids. Brad Sears used to say you either recreate or you rehabilitate. And I think Mayor Sears was very wise when he said that, and that's something that I'd like for us to do more, and I really encourage the city to adopt this tax and let us all pay $4 or $5 a year to make our city better. It seems like a very small investment for a very strong position for our kids. Thank you very much. Kelly Smith, you are next. Your name and address, please.
Kelly Smith, I live at 1937 Silver Drive, and we've been in Cedar Hills for 23 years. So I want to speak in support of the tax. Right before we moved here, I actually headed up the Committee of American Works to pass the city tax there. And so I'm really familiar with the issues and kind of done my research on the board. And that passed really well in American Works and continues to be. I actually got an update. I still run their website. I love Cedar Hills, but we were in American Works for 25 years. So I still run their website where we update all the time on what they've been able to do with their program. And just wanted to go over a couple of the things. Having done all of that, a couple of the reasons that I support this person. For one thing, I appreciate that it generates revenue from other people to come to your bills. So I know that people from Alpine and Highland use our parks, do our rec programs and other things, and so I hope that when they visit our parks, they also go to Walmart and grab a few things for their picnics, and then that money comes back to us to build our programs in Cedar Hills. So I appreciate that. And then I also appreciate that it's a really small amount of money, so specifically a penny on every $10. And so I feel like that's something that's all doable for all of us. I think everybody in Cedar Hills could probably find some place where they utilize these things that we can improve with the money. And so I think, you know, if I think to myself, okay, $10, and I'm on these trails and in these parks, and we're able to add some more bathrooms or some parking lots or some programs for the kids, that's worth doing to me. And it feels like it's doable for everybody. The last thing I wanted to say is that I know a lot of, having been in American Fork, I know a lot of cities are adopting this program. And so if we don't vote them in, we'll also be kind of at a disadvantage because American Fork, you know, the money that's being spent there, they're using for parks and recs and in Orem and in Pleasant Grove and in Linden, and they're using it to improve their parks. And then we will be without that extra revenue to improve our parks and making our Cedar Hills a little bit less desirable place to live. And so, in closing, just I would say a vibrant, active, attractive community includes well-maintained parks and healthy rec and arts programs, and that this park tax is a simple, really small way to combine our money to improve our community.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miller, come up and give us your name and address, and we have 3 minutes.
It's Ryan Miller, 10509 North State Vista, here in Cedar Hills. Thank you, Mayor and Council and staff, also Eric and Kelly. I'm here to speak in support of Prop 7, the park tax. I've read the arguments for and against that were sent out in the information pamphlet, and this tax literally has nothing to do with the golf course. Nothing to do with the golf course. What this tax is a very minute tax that gives the opportunity for Highland residents, Alpine residents, American Fork residents to assist in enhancing our community. People come here and they spend money at our Walmart, at our McDonald's. We don't have a lot of options, but they come and they spend that. They're taxed with this park tax, and that money comes to Cedar Hills, and it stays in Cedar Hills, and it enhances Cedar Hills. So not only can we help as residents enhance the community that we live in, but we get the advantage of people assisting from other cities, assisting and paying for our things. This tax is used for park enhancement, for arts, for recreational opportunities, for cultural opportunities, opportunities to gather as a city, opportunities for us to bond, opportunities to make Cedar Hills a very desirable place to come and live and play. This tax is negligible. It's literally a penny for every $10. That is not something that you're going to notice or it's going to change anybody's purchasing habits. If an Alpine resident spends $23 at Marco's Pizza, the tax is 2 cents that we get from them. If a Highland resident spends $84 at Walmart, we get 8 cents from them. And if a Cedar Hills resident spends $10 at McDonald's, we get a penny from them and it stays right here. This is a very small amount. This tax is not a new tax. We had it. It expired. It had a 10-year sunset clause. This past year, we haven't had it. It was on the ballot last year. It wasn't explained well, and it failed. Nobody's noticed more money in their pockets because we haven't had this tax for the past whatever months. And they're not going to notice when it goes back in. But what they will notice is when we put in great features in our parks, when we enhance our trails, when we have community nights where we can get together. I encourage the council and the staff and all the residents to support this. This is wonderful for our city. This is enhances it. The cost is very small to each one of us, but the benefit can be very big. Thank you.
That's on my list. Mr. Derringer, I know you're here, and so I'm going to invite you up in a minute. Is there anyone else that had meant to sign up on the park tax item and did not get an opportunity to speak? If not, Jerry, why don't you come up and give us your name, address. You've got 3 minutes.
Is that
last
2 minutes?
Right on. I'm not going to cut you off in the middle of the sentence, so go ahead.
My name is Jerry Derringer. I'm at 4211 North Creek Drive, Cedar Hills. Anything else you need to know about me? Go to Parson, at least to against the proposition of the United States, correct? We vote it down. We properly explain. We wanted to know. I know when I look at the budget, we spend hundreds, if not millions of dollars in our other funds for enhancing the parks. This does really enhance parks. It's a very wonderful thing. But there are also, like me, a lot of retired people in this community, people who are finding it difficult to buy. And yes, it's a small victory if we want to add on to the tax. But it does assist us at the property taxes have gone up this year, utility taxes have gone up this year, and my salary has not gone up this year, and it didn't go up last year. And we have luck with some things other than Social Security, but they don't increase either, and so instead. And so I advocate passing this tax. You don't need it. If you look at your budget, you can find $40,000 from all of the other things that spend money for it if you want it. And those people who have, you know, I have 16 children and 70 grandchildren. I don't rely on the city to provide entertainment or anything for those. I take care of them myself. And so those people who want this, they're quite welcome to donate whatever money they would like at the city, and you can some programs for them. That's what you do with the sports programs and others, they pay for them. And so something like this is really important to them. Program on for them. Please don't ask me and my fellow retired neighbors to.
Thank you very much. All right, so this is not an action item tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's already on the ballot. It's just a question of getting out the vote or not. And so I would like to remind people that listen, but also that are here, that
park tax, the A stands for artists. The, that gets missed sometimes. R is recreation. I forget what the C is for. What's the C for?
Culture.
Culture. Okay. Let's not forget those things as well. So, all right.
Can I make a quick comment right over the board on things?
Yes.
A few things that have come up in and questions that I've had over the past few weeks, I just wanted to clarify. I've had a couple of people ask me if the money from park tax funds are used to pay for recreation programs in the city, and I want to clarify that that's not the case. Recreation programs are funded by user fees that individual users pay to participate in basketball and soccer and lacrosse. So it's not used to subsidize individual families' fees to pay to play sports. Another question that I was asked today was, is there some kind of law that prevents cities from collecting this money and then just spending it on whatever they want? And the answer to that is yes. State code is very clear that cities can assess this tax if it's voted on by residents, but it can only be used for those things that are mentioned in state code, which includes parks, recreational facilities, culture. It can't be used to funnel money to another fund. And I've had people ask me what kinds of things have we done with the money already. And when we did have it in place for 10 years before, we used those funds to install a basketball court at Heritage Park. We helped fund the completion of the basement here, which hosts classes such as karate, theater, singing, art classes. We installed a restaurant and ski park. We completed Bayville Park. And we have coordinated community events. Hosted by arts committees such as the summer concert series and the children's art contest. And so those funds have been used for programs that are open to the entire city, not benefit, like I said, specific families. So I support the comments that were made tonight in support of it. It's a small tax. It has a sunset provision of 10 years, so after 10 years it does expire. But it does allow us to obtain some additional funding, it's not average, about $40,000 a year, to enhance those features in our community that our residents express year after year are most desirable, the open space, parks, trails, the community events that we host, and the facilities that we have. So, and I'd be happy to answer any additional questions that have come up if anyone wants to be on that.
So I just want to echo those same sentiments that Jenny said. With regards to the tax, I'm 100% for it. I want to say that publicly. I support it. I think it's great for our community. I don't think anybody's going to, I don't think there's a single person that wants to fix anything that's going to suffer by paying one penny every $10. And, you know, if that's wrong, so be it. I doubt it. So, I would like to just correct one thing that I heard, and we did vote it down last year. It wasn't highly promoted at all by the city or anybody else, which we have the right to. The opposition that was written was very kind of liars, and it was very unfactual, and I think it kind of missed by a lot of people. So that's why I think we're doing it this year and trying to be correct and be forthright and open with what it really is and what we use the money for. So 100% behind it. Get out and vote.
Thank you. Any other comments? No, let's move on to item number 12, which is an action item. And staff came up with this, which I think is very helpful, by the way. And this relates to the public hearing earlier this evening on the land on Oak Road. So Mr. Goodman, if you want to present this action item, we're ready.
Yeah. This came about from the Planning Commission. When Mr. Briggs noticed the gap in the code. So the Planning Commission did identify as one we think we can improve the code for you. But let me add the caveat right now. I have been thinking about this code a lot today as it's being proposed, and I'm just going to start with, I don't know that it's quite there. But as I've been thinking about some situations today, I think it needs to be developed a little bit more. Let me explain. So the issue came about when this dealing with the Oak Road parcel, and many of the adjacent residences mentioned that the city would like to see the city enforce reordinance on the parcel itself. Parcels in the improvements, so the way the code reads right now is it reads on developed commercial and residential lots shall be maintained at height. Well, this is the public facility zone, it's not commercial or residential. So the planning commission's thought was this is an exception, we need to fill this gap. And my concern, and I shared it with the council, was that the city owns a lot of open space, that we have no intention of doing rebate. We own hundreds of acres up the hillside, and I'm not going to send our summer guys to be riders up the mountain. That just doesn't make any sense. So I really was concerned about the municipal properties when we drafted this code, but as I was thinking about it today, there are parcels in the city that are not municipally owned, but they're still open space and they're intended to be open space. So I want to give you some of those examples that I found. There's facilities throughout the city that are storm drain retention basins, that some of them are grass and some of them are open space. There's hillside properties right now that are undeveloped that are going to be future subdivisions that are open space. They are just natural vegetation that never forced any sort of weed baiting on them. I know the church owns about 80 acres, there's another gentleman that owns about another 80 acres on the hillside. There are open spaces held by HOAs. Vanya owns a bit of open space in their HOA, as well as the town owns a common area that they have portions of it that are grass, and there's portions of it that are intended to be native. And then there's just areas of the city that are intended to be natural hillsides. And so as I'm thinking about this, yeah, we carved out an exception for municipally owned property, but I think it falls short of what it's intended to as it's currently written. So as I'm looking at it, I see areas where we can improve the code, but I don't know that this code goes far enough to address the actual situation. Because, yeah, it would enforce some new vacant on an Elk Road parcel, but as I'm thinking about it here, you can talk about unintended consequences. I think as it's written right now, there are some unintended consequences that I don't like, so I think it's a little bit
too. So do you think that you're going to be able to square the circle and find some language that you are not
really. I think it's a matter because the portion of the code that we're proposing really change is adding weeds on undeveloped lots in every zone. But also there's some exceptions in hand in there for livestock, carve out an exception for municipal property. Now the problem is, let me kind of share this quandary, is right now the Oak Road, let's use the Oak Road piece because that's where we start this whole discussion. That's a privately held open space. Well, as it was written right now, this would require the landowner to do the abatement on the property within 30 feet of the homes. Well, let's say that in a year the city acquired that property and it was our open space. Well, then we're back to the same problem we had before, and we're not leaving it, it's open space. So it's there's the issue. So it's addressing a short-term need, but I feel like it's creating a long-term problem.
So I'm going to do something I don't normally do. In as much as staff is not ready to bring forth a recommendation on it, I would suggest we make a motion to table this, and when staff is comfortable with the recommendation, and we bring it back.
I make that motion. I would entertain any suggestions as well as I kind of.
Yeah, suggest. I just want to make one suggestion.
Go ahead.
I do agree we should table it. The other issue raised David raised during the planning discussion was that our public facility zone also has another building in that zone, such as schools, certain water tanks, and so forth. It might be nice to direct the planning commission to draft an open space zone that has at least certain things in it, like parks that we
took your reference to. Like an overlay zone over the whole city.
No, the zone that we can apply to these spaces that we really want to be open spaces, and we'll see if there's a school of the others.
Okay. We'll talk about that. That's a good idea.
I mean, I see how
but you see on the Oak Road parcel, it's still with the open space adjacent to residences.
Yeah.
Like I said, the idea is long term weed abatement.
Yes, exactly. So I understand the weed abatement issue. This is yet another issue that relates to the city. We've been discussing about growth, and this is a real concern in the planning commission. We have a facility zone that allows certain buildings in it, and maybe we should address that.
Okay, I do need to deal with the motion that was made, and then I can come back to discussion if anyone else wants to discuss it. But I do have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion was seconded by Mr. Zappala. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote then. We are tabling this issue. Mr. Zappala?
Aye.
Mr. Bailey?
Aye.
Mr. Geddes? Aye. Mrs. Anderson?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much. Last item for the evening, ladies and gentlemen, is a discussion on the Watershed Protection Program. So, American Fork City is trying to get all of the neighboring cities to create a resolution in support of their Watershed Protection Program of American Fork Canyon. So, Mr. Goodman, why don't you present that?
Yeah, we're
not doing anything tonight. This is just a discussion.
State code allows municipalities to draft watershed protection ordinances. Currently, we have a water source protection ordinance that deals with the land around wells and what can be around the well. State code says in 10A15, it says they may construct, speaking of powers due to municipalities, it says they may construct or authorize the construction of waterworks within or without city limits for the purpose of maintaining and protecting the same from injury and water pollution. Their jurisdiction shall extend over the territory occupied by such works. It goes on to say, as necessary for the construction, maintenance, and operation of the sand, and over to the stream source, which the water is taken from 15 miles above the point from which it's taken. So you can imagine our watershed going up 15 miles up the American Fork Canyon. It gives some added provisions for cities of the first class, which we are not. As of right now, we're city of the fifth class. And then, kind of two-thirds of that, says they may enact all ordinances and regulations necessary to carry the power herein into effect and are authorized and empowered to enact ordinances preventing pollution or contamination of streams or water courses. So I've had conversations with Dave Bunker over at the American Fork Canyon about the development of American Fork Canyon and the possibility that maybe to what impact it may have on their watershed. And so he reached out to the neighboring cities out to Cedarville, saying, you guys can see this. This we had done at that point. But after reading the ordinance, it does give the city some ability to have say in development. It doesn't give us the only say, but it gives us a seat at the table to be a good enough. As development occurs within our watershed, we're able to review these types of development, especially for the draft ordinance. It's for septic tanks, it's for sewer facilities, it's for animals, barns, it's for portable toilets, it's for anything that could potentially be contaminated or water source. So that's the discussion item tonight. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
So I think we just need to know if the council wants staff to create a resolution supporting the watershed. I think it's a good idea. And that's the direction. Mr. Zappala, you look like you're mic'd up and ready to go.
I really support what we're trying to do here. I support the work as well. My concern is the paragraph purpose and intent. I think what we're getting at here is not really have the legal ability to do it. So it says it is the intent of the city to assert jurisdiction over the watershed area the maximum extent allowed by the federal law. Does federal state can allow about the extent?
That's the water force state code that was submitted. 10A15. It does give you the ability to protect your water source 15 miles from, and it's considered extraterritorial jurisdiction.
I'm just trying to see the state of the
field. Yes, and it allows for a permitting process.
So we should try to slap our hands on those two.
So there's some. I don't know how strong it is. The language in the ordinance, other than crossing out American Fork City, putting in the city of Cedar Hills, is the same as what was prepared for American Fork. I didn't want to spin our wheels and go through it and redraft it once the Americans have gone through it.
Okay, well that's really interesting. I see the board.
Any other comments from any council members?
So as I went through it, you're probably already aware of this in the definitions.
Yeah,
it also says American Fork.
Yeah.
Has Mr. Shaw reviewed this at all? Do you have any feedback?
We will.
So not yet. And then there are quite a few things that it says the Director of Public Works is going to be involved in. Does Jeff have the time to take on all that additional responsibility?
Jeff, you got more hours in the day than anyone I know.
I haven't read. I don't know what.
No.
Oh, we're obligating you to.
So that's those are the kind of things that we'll need to talk about on staff, whether it's where the director's Jeff is the public works director or designee, or if it's something that we assign to Bowen Collins or City Engineer.
I see. So I'm very supportive of it.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I can put this support.
Okay, very good. There's your marching orders. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the evening. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
I have motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mrs. Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here as well. Have a good evening.